Tonight we are looking at Lord's Day 31. And you can find that Lord's Day on page 886 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. We'll be looking at the keys of the kingdom and tonight focusing on the first one, preaching the Holy Gospel. Page 886, Lord's Day 31. We'll be looking at the first two questions and answers of this Lord's Day. I'll read the question and we can respond together with each answer. Question answer 38 or 83, what are the keys of the kingdom? The preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline toward repentance. Both of them open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. How does preaching the Holy Gospel open and close the kingdom of heaven? According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is opened by proclaiming and publicly declaring to all believers, each and every one, that as often as they accept the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of Christ's merit, truly forgives all their sins. The kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the wrath of God and eternal condemnation rests on them. God's judgment, both in this life and in the life to come, is based on this gospel testimony. Now I invite you to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 10. Second Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 10, before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 10, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, do we need to have someone talk after the Bible passage is read during our worship services? What if we just read the Bible? Can we say anything more than what's already here? Can we improve on what Paul says in his letters? Do we need to have a sermon at every worship service? Do we need to have a message? What is a sermon? Question and answer 84 asks, how does preaching the gospel open and close the kingdom? So what is a sermon? How would you answer that question if someone asked you? Why don't we just read the passage and leave it at that? Our church order, Article 38, says the consistory shall regulate the worship services, which shall be conducted according to the principles taught in God's word, namely that the preaching of the word have central place. Our passage this evening, 2 Timothy, gives a clear command to preach the word. And so our question is, well, why? Why do we preach the word? Why preach the word? Why is it central to our worship? And the answer that our passage and the catechism give is because preaching the gospel, preaching the word, opens and closes the kingdom of heaven. Because preaching opens the kingdom of heaven to believers, and it closes the kingdom of heaven to unbelievers. That's why we are called to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. Tonight, as we look at our passage, we'll be first of all looking at the command. Secondly, we'll be looking at the necessity. And third, we'll be looking at the content. And so first, the command, preach the word. The situation here in this letter, 2 Timothy, Paul is writing this letter to encourage the young pastor, Timothy, in his work. The gospel message is under attack from these false teachers. What is that gospel message? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's under attack by these false teachers, by those with itching ears who are distorting and twisting this gospel. And so Paul is coming along and he's encouraging Timothy in verse 14. He's encouraging him to continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. And then Paul gives Timothy five commands. And the first command is preach the word. And the following commands explain what that means. Be prepared, correct, rebuke, encourage. And so Timothy is told to preach the word. Well, what does that mean exactly? When you look at chapter 4, verse 5, it's the gospel message. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Of someone who brings the gospel, who shares the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul's not only telling Timothy to keep your head in all situations and endure hardship here, but he says, do the work of the evangelist. Do the work of someone who proclaims the good news of the gospel. Preach the word. Do the work of someone who proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. And question and answer 83 shows the significance of this. when it explains that the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of the word, opens and closes the kingdom of heaven. Question answers 83. The preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline towards repentance, both of them open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. And so the kingdom of heaven is open when the gospel promise is proclaimed and publicly declared to sinners. And so in that way, a sermon, a message, isn't just someone talking after a Bible passage is read. It's proclaiming the gospel message. It's the means by which the kingdom of heaven is opened. Jesus Christ came, lived, died, and rose again. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. The kingdom of heaven is opened towards those, to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who place their faith in him. 84, question answer 84 goes on, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to all believers, each and every one, that as often as you accept the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of what Christ has done, truly forgives all of their sins. And so how we respond to the gospel either opens or closes the kingdom. Because when the word goes out, when the gospel is proclaimed, we either respond in faith or unbelief. There's no neutral here. The gospel of Jesus Christ will either draw you in or drive you away. The message of the gospel will either pull you in as you respond in faith or drive you away if you respond in unbelief or hypocrisy. There's no such thing as a neutral Christian. There's no such thing as a stagnant Christian. And that's the importance of proclaiming, of preaching the good news, of proclaiming and preaching the gospel. So what is a sermon? What does it mean to preach? It means to publicly proclaim out loud the good news of Jesus Christ. Publicly proclaiming or preaching the gospel message. Now, by placing this command to preach the word first and foremost, Paul makes it the foundation of Christian ministry. Preaching the word is foundational to our Christian lives. Here he's telling this young pastor, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. This is what opens the kingdom of heaven. It's a result of preaching the gospel message. Preaching the gospel is what opens the kingdom of heaven. It's what makes and builds the church. And that is why the proclamation of God's word, preaching the gospel, is foundational and central to our worship as a church. Now, when people think about the gospel, when you think about the good news of what Christ has done for us, the salvation that is ours in Christ alone through faith alone, we often think about the gospel being the door that gets you into the kingdom or gets you into church. You hear what Christ did and you become a Christian. We preach the gospel to get people in, right? That's called outreach. That's called evangelism. But once you're in, once you become a Christian, the temptation is then to live our lives as if the gospel has no real impact or influence. We might even be tempted to think, well, we've heard that. We know that Christ died for sins and when you believe in him, that's how you get into heaven. And it's not until I'm ready to die that I want to hear that again, to have that assurance of faith and salvation once again. But what we fail to realize is that the gospel is not only what opens the kingdom to us, brings us into the kingdom, both the church when we come to faith and become part of the body of Christ, but also welcomed into heaven, the kingdom of God. But the gospel is also the power in between those two points as well. Because the gospel declares to you that you are united to Jesus Christ, renewed day by his Spirit. That's why Paul is giving Timothy this very clear command, preach the word. And then he goes on, secondly, to explain why this is so important. The necessity. Be prepared. This shows how the first command to preach the word is to be carried out. Be prepared. Be ready in season and out of season. And this describes a time or a season that's either convenient or inconvenient. In season is a convenient time. We're planning on this. Out of season, well, it's not so convenient. It's not as good. You look forward to verses chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, and it describes what an out-of-season preaching of the word looks like. Not a good time. Here's a time that is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions. So, hey, we're gathering people around us, teachers around us, who tell us what our itching ears want to hear. We're turning our ears away from the truth and turning aside to these myths. Wandering off into myths. This is simply an example. If you have your Bibles opened and you look back to chapter 3, this out-of-season preaching, this itching ears, describes the godlessness that's being described in chapter 3. This expresses and builds on the godlessness that Paul has already mentioned, the false teachers, the itching ears that Timothy's currently dealing with. And if you want to talk about this godlessness that's in the last days and think, well, are we in the end times? The answer is yes, that we've been living in the end times since Christ. We are in them. And that's why today is the day of salvation. That's why preaching, proclaiming the gospel is so crucial. The reason that we are commanded here to preach the word and to be prepared in season and out of season is because of the itching ears. People naturally drift away from the preaching of the gospel to satisfy their own itching ears, gathering around them teachers who tell them what they want to hear. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a Piper conference in Minneapolis. And during one of the sessions, they had a man painting a picture while music was playing. And we all watched, and he splashed paint on the canvas, and the music was playing, and we saw this picture coming together as he painted. And then when he was finished, he turned the painting over, and we could see what he had been working on. And it's a crown of thorns. The music that was played, and we watched him paint, it was all a very moving experience. Now imagine someone coming home from a conference like that and thinking, you know what? That was a great experience at that conference. And they came home and they came to the elder and said, you know what? We need to move the pulpit to the side and replace it with a canvas. And instead of a 20 to 30 minute sermon or message, we can watch someone paint while we all listen to music as they paint for about 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, we're a visual culture, someone else would chime in and say. It's going to reach people where they're at. I mean, we all are very visual with the screens on our phones and TVs and computers. It's about what we see, not about what we hear. Our attention span is way too short. Itching ears, or in this case, maybe itching eyes, since you want to see the painting. Paul and Timothy also lived in a very visual culture. Pictures, mosaics were everywhere. Their culture also had entertainment, plays and actors, performance. But Paul doesn't tell Timothy to paint a message. He's not telling Timothy to act it out in a way that's accessible to everyone right where they're at. The command to Timothy and the command to us today is to preach the word. And as we consider what this command, preach the word, means for us as a congregation practically, what we know is that we place a high value on the preaching of the word. But what are some of the ways that the preached word is challenged? What are some of the ways that preaching the gospel is challenged in our culture? Paul and Timothy here are facing these false teachers, this outside pressure to distort and twist the gospel. People who loved pleasure more than they loved God. People who said that they were Christians, but in reality they weren't. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. False teachers. Saying that they're Christians, but not living it out. For us, one of the greatest challenges to the preaching of the word is not so much us directly or deliberately denying the power of the word, because we would never say that preaching the word is a bad thing, but rather it's us living out our lives as if it doesn't make any significance or have any difference or significance. No one is going to say that preaching the word is a bad thing. I could probably take a survey of all the nominal Christians, the Christians who are Christian in name only in Northwest Iowa, and I would dare say a majority of them would say, yeah, preaching is a good thing. Is preaching the word a good thing? Yes. Is preaching important? Yes. Is it powerful? Oh, yeah. So then why do you only show up for worship part of the time? I'm not looking for moralistic pew warmers here, but is what is better, what is more important, what is more powerful in your life than the proclamation of the word? What is more important than worship? What takes precedent over the gospel? The game, your schedule, your activities, hobbies, work, family? Because here tonight we're hearing that the kingdom of heaven is opened and closed by the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel will either draw you in or drive you away. And that's probably the most sobering reality that's expressed in question answer 84. The same gospel that draws believers into the kingdom is the gospel that closes the kingdom to unbelievers and hypocrites. Which means the wrath of God and the internal condemnation of God rests on them. The challenge to the gospel being proclaimed comes from us overlooking or underestimating its significance, its power, not realizing or recognizing the power that's at work here. This is God's word. It is living and active. It goes out and it doesn't return empty without accomplishing what it's been sent out for. Do we really believe that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness? Do we truly believe that the preaching of the gospel is powerful and effective and will open and close the kingdom of heaven? Because if we do, how is that reality expressed in our life? It's so easy, even for us who are here this evening, it's so easy for us to fall into autopilot, to just be going through the motions, to put in our time as a pew or a chair warmer, check our list, going to church, and not truly worship at all, just going through the motions, checking off the legalistic list without responding to the gospel at all. And James Montgomery Boyce explains it like this: in our day, this would refer to people who think that they have worshiped God simply because they have occupied a seat in a church on Sunday morning, or you could add evening, sung a hymn, or lit a candle, or crossed themselves, or knelt in an aisle. Jesus says this is not worship. The reason to preach the word is because itching ears close the kingdom. Question answer 84, the kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring due unbelievers and hypocrites, that as long as they do not repent, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. This is God's judgment, both in this life and the life to come. It's based on the gospel testimony. It's proclaiming the gospel. It's preaching the word. If you aren't in Christ, then you face this judgment and this wrath on your own. The kingdom of heaven is closed to those who do not repent, who are unbelieving, who are hypocrites, because they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And so no matter how many false teachers or doubters, no matter how many come against the gospel, with Scripture, as Paul is telling Timothy, with Scripture one is able to teach, reprove, correct, and train people in righteousness. And that's our third and our final point this evening, the content of what is proclaimed, what is preached. Correct, rebuke, and encourage or exhort with complete patience and teaching. When the Word of God is proclaimed, it corrects, it rebukes, and it encourages. And so in that way, the preaching of the word is correcting our wrong beliefs. It's rebuking our immoral living, and it's exhorting or encouraging us in our walk with the Lord, spurring us on. The four main commands here in verse 2 that we see, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, those three reflect chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So here you have a description of how Scripture is used. You have teaching you positively what you should believe. Rebuking, this is correcting your wrong beliefs. Correcting our sinful actions and training in righteousness, in positively correct ways of living for the Lord. And now you have Paul bringing that home to Timothy, that as you preach the word, that's exactly what you're doing, because that's what Scripture is for. Preach the word. Use it to correct, rebuke, encourage. And this is the practical application of preaching the gospel. It isn't just a list of how you should live or a to-do list for the week ahead. This is what I need to work on. This is what you should do as far as your behavior goes. It's also correcting and encouraging us in what we believe, who we put our faith in. This is what is true. This is the gospel that we hold on to by faith. And whatever set you're looking at, verse 16, 3 verse 16, or 4 verse 2, you're getting both sides of the content of what is preached. How Scripture is used to shape what we believe and how we live. Positively, it's encouraging us and it's teaching us and training us when it comes to proper belief and proper living. Negatively, it's correcting our wrong beliefs, heresy. It's rebuking our immoral living when we've gotten off track. What you believe and how you live. It confronts or corrects. It refers to Timothy's confrontation of these false teachers and their heresy. Rebuke those who are not listening. God's word is being preached and proclaimed. The gospel is being declared. Living and believing, correcting and rebuking. And it provides the content and the direction for all Christians to be fully equipped and enabled to do every good work. Or to say it like the Catechism, negatively preaching the gospel closes the kingdom to those who will not listen or repent, to unbelievers and hypocrites, by rebuking and correcting. Or positively, preaching the gospel opens the kingdom to those who will listen and believe by exhorting and encouraging, by teaching and training. And if you're here this evening, hearing the gospel being proclaimed, and you do not yet believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you need to do is to say that you are sorry for your sins. This is called repenting. And then place your faith in Jesus Christ. True faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God tells us in His Word is true. It's also that deep-rooted conviction created in us by the Holy Spirit, by the gospel that is proclaimed. That not only others, but you too have had all of your sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God. Because of Jesus Christ, all you have to do is accept that promise with a believing heart. And for those of you here this evening who do believe in Jesus Christ, know that because of Christ alone, your sins are forgiven. God's judgment is satisfied and you are part of the kingdom. Paul calls on Timothy to proclaim and apply God's word with much patience and careful teaching and instruction, to be clear-headed in every situation and to bear whatever difficulties ministry might throw at him, to evangelize and do whatever is necessary to accomplish and fulfill the ministry to which Christ has called him. So as we conclude this evening, what is a sermon? How would you answer that question if someone asked? What is a sermon? It's the preaching of the word. It's proclaiming the gospel in season and out of season. It's doing the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. It's closing the kingdom to unbelievers and hypocrites and opening the kingdom to believers. It's correcting our wrong beliefs, rebuking our immoral lives and exhorting and encouraging us in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of salvation in Christ alone. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue your work in each and every one of our hearts as we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the kingdom of heaven is open to us and we enter in joyfully because of what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross, bearing your wrath in our place and clothing us with his perfect righteousness so that we can enjoy the eternal life found in Christ alone. Lord, I pray for those here or listening in who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, be at work in their lives as well. Already now be softening their hearts by the work of your Holy Spirit and let them respond in repentance and faith to the good news proclaimed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.